Greetings, America. Yes, bask in my greatness. Milk the applause. This is just like when I was at the Nuremberg Rye. Of course, the catering was better. Though if you can't get good sauerkraut in Germany, where can you? Aside from Poland, of course. I've been asked to open this inaugural drunken time travel event. What? Sarcastic voyage, huh? You sure? Well, okay. So I first opened the show back in 1968 for the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. I'll always remember what Neil Innes said to me on that night. I didn't order pepperoni. He was right, you know. He didn't. True story. Seriously? Sarcastic voyage? Anyway, I better go. I'm due to play Full Card Monty with Edward James Olmos. He plays for keeps. So put your stupid hands together for the comedy stylings of Ron Algarwatt and Matt Loverboy Robotham.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 138, live at the Emerald City Comic Con, featuring Ron Algarwatt and Matt Robotham, with Brian Lynch and Malvern Smile.
Oh, God.
Finally, once and for all, we put an end to those rumors.
About spring time.
Hello, Matt. Yes, hi, hello.
You guys made it.
Oh, my God.
Holy fuck.
We have been planning for this for one human year,
yep.
And Jesus Christ, here
it is. And I mean, even before that, it was just like, well, someday we're going to do a thing together.
Yeah, and you're just like, yeah, sure.
Of course,
we're
going to do a thing. Get whatever you say, honey.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, look, Matt, there are people here listening to us.
Uh-huh.
Be funny. Do it.
What
be
the?
Funny. If I have learned one thing this weekend at our table, it is... Let me bring out my little friend Neil Gaiman here.
If we all clap really hard.
No. Do not waste claps. We don't get many of those. This is puppet Neil Gaiman. This is my excuse to hit on every hot goth girl I see. And it works.
Oh, where are you going? That's nice. Hello, come back here.
You're obviously one of mine. Look
God,
at you.
I can see the entirety of your bum.
Look at you in row three there with the glasses and the dark. You're obviously an Alan Moore fan,
quit
right?
Hitting on my friends.
No. Yeah, no. So I cannot, I am so nervous, I am so terrified. That guy, I completely understand what it's like to live as Irish Gav now.
Yep.
It all makes sense to me. But here we are.
The freeing power of puppetry, man.
It's just,
this
it's
is why Jim Henson never spoke in public or went to a doctor.
May he rest in peace.
I can't go without the frog.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Moment of silence, please. For him and Gene Wilder, of course. Got to get that out
poor
of the
guy.
Way.
Damn shame.
If nothing else, I hate that Mr. Smlown made an Edward James Olmos reference because Mr. James Olmos actually made eye contact with puppet Neil Gaiman a few minutes ago and rolled his eyes. Hey, that's a win. Don't awe at that. That is a win.
I dare any of you to get higher than getting ignored by Edward James Olmos.
I just realized, it's esprit d'escalier, I just realized I should have said, so say we all.
Yeah, like he doesn't get that enough.
Well, not when he rolls his eyes at a Neil Gaiman puppet.
Please
I bet he never gets that.
Oh, God. Every goddamn con I come to, another Neil Gaiman puppet yells at me. Next year, I'm going to trap him in my pores.
The worst thing so far, I mean, it's we have all our friends coming out here. We have, I don't know, 20 or 30 people who came out here to see us and to see each other and to enjoy the con, and it's fantastic. The first day I get to spend with my pals, English and Irish Gav, they came here all the way from the UK, and it's fantastic to see them. One of them I've only seen briefly before during, like, the worst time of my life, and the other one I'd never met, so it was great. I get to show them around, sort of an ambassador to America and to Seattle, and so that's the Space Needle, huh? Big pointy thing. What does this do exactly?
Why do you own this?
But then I took them to the Sci-Fi Museum, which is no longer the Sci-Fi Museum. Now it's the... we have a picture of Roger Corman up, and also here's some stuff from Avatar.
Yeah.
It just kept getting worse and worse.
Apparently the idea was to now have nothing but horror stuff and Avatar, so as to lure me in and then torture me for hours.
They didn't have any of the flying mountains that seemed to enrage
you so much. I burned them down.
How do you burn down a mountain exactly?
It was not easy. I worked hard at it. It was where I was Thursday night.
Oh, well, that explains everything then. Yeah, this is usually the part of the show where we sort of freewheel and sort of talk off the top of our heads. Uh-huh. How's the top of your head doing there, Matt? You got anything in there? Because I'm
just the same just the same poofing as usual.
How? No, not going to say it.
How's your...
Everything? Do not ask how their butts are.
Good.
For those of you who are new, and it's cool to see people here who've never heard us before, I will occasionally, when I have nothing to say, ask people how their butts are.
Demand to know how your butt is.
I do not want to know how your butt is. I want to make this abundantly clear.
And yet you insist on asking.
It just feels like the natural thing to say.
Yeah, the natural thing to say. How's your butt? I really need to know.
Listen, in a conversation,
There is no good answer to that.
I don't care. I've gotten the question out. Now it's off me. Now you got to worry about that. That's out there, and you have to figure out how your butt is.
Everyone talking to you just...
And then they have to tell me, and then it's back on me again. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, well then.
I'm sorry to hear that. How many? Oh, God.
I'm sorry, Mr. James Olmos. It's very nice to... So say we all. Well...
No, it's full of origami stuff from Blade Runner.
Of course.
The only thing about that movie I remember.
No, these guys haven't seen that version of Blade Runner.
How unfortunate.
Obviously. How did you get water?
I stole Smiles.
Oh, God.
Do something about it.
Well, now you belong to him.
Oh, God.
You realize that, right? Now he's yours. Again, for those of you who haven't heard the show before, that is not our show's mascot. He came here with Irish Gav.
He came here on the Mayflower.
I've seen a picture of him with a little belt hat.
What do you call those? The belt hats?
A terrifying belt hat?
Yes. He wants Matt.
He sexually.
Yes, in case we weren't clear on that. He is very interested in how Matt's butt is.
It's fine.
Well, all right then. So, what's in the news?
Oh, God. We were just out in what I had to unfortunately dub the Rape Alley.
Oh, yes, the Rape Alley. How delightful.
We were wondering about content literally up to the point when we're back there waiting to come out here. So, Al's standing over here waiting for the door to open. Matt, come here. Someone left a syringe on the floor.
I meant to bring it out with me, but I don't think you guys would believe me. After the show, if you'd all like to go see the syringe in its natural habitat, I certainly don't want to spoil it.
No, come back. Have a look. Al, that's a syringe.
You think there's a green room back there, maybe? Some M&Ms, something? Nope. Syringe.
Yep.
Rape Alley. Fantastic.
Yep.
Alan Moore would appreciate it, I suppose.
I suppose he would. So what else is in the news today?
I don't know. I didn't bring my newspaper or my fake
or any notes whatsoever.
No. And there's Mr. Splans glaring at me.
Oh, God.
He's looking at me, Matt.
Ugly little sucker, isn't he?
I think he can hear you. We're just going to sit up here and do Ghostbusters quotes, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that fine with everyone? Good.
No, actually, again, this is the part of the show where we just come out and say hi. We have a whole show ahead.
Yes.
We have puppets and so forth, and... we hope you enjoy that, but for now, I think, Mr. Soundman, we're going to take a break. So, just so you know, there will be audio happening. We're going to crouch below the table. Ignore that and enjoy the pre-prepared comedy. The pre-pre-prepared comedy.
Hang on.
That's tough. Take it away, Mr. Soundman. Or not. Ignore us!
Hey, Brian.
Attention, Warlock Ageddon patrons. Please put down all wands, lightsabers, batleths, and other consanctioned weapons, and take ye heed of thy brief announcements. Mr. Takei, your order of cocaine has arrived. Your order of magic pixie dust has arrived. Wink. Paging Batman, repeat Batman. There is a call for you on the payphone out front. Attention, anyone who has had Alan Moore's book of erotic poetry signed, please report back to Mr. Moore. He would like to take his name off them. Nathan Fillion will be... Wait, what's this mean? Pause for squealing fangirls? Aaron Gray, please report to the front office. We're not sure who you are. We'd like to settle a bet. The Star Wars versus Star Trek versus Stargate panel has been canceled because are you fucking kidding me? Stargate? Really? The Dolphin from Sequest DSV will be signing copies of his new book, So Long and Thanks for Nothing, in the atrium. If anyone has seen Warwick Davis, please report to the info booth for your prize. Meet the women of DC Comics. She will be signing autographs from inside the refrigerator from 3 to 6. Mr. Shatner, please report to room 220. Mr. Takei, please report to as far from room 220 as possible. Thank you for your time. It is the fire in which we burn.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
Willikins, what is the meaning of this? I was just in the Breakfast Observatory and there was the most appallingly paltry spread.
Yes, sir. I regret to inform you that I am on strike. So I only made you toast and jam and some kippers and rashers and potatoes and clotted cream and scones today. I know that may make it seem like I'm not very on strike, but one must ease into these things, mustn't one?
Strike? And after I've treated you so well, what brought on this assault on the class structure, what has done us so very good for so many generations?
Well, sir, whilst ironing the morning papers for you to ignore, I found myself becoming fed up with the massive wealth discrepancy in this country after reading about the Occupy movement.
What, those eight-legged creatures what lives underwater?
No. No, that's octopi.
What, the number 25.13272?
No, that's... Is that pi times 8? How did you even know that?
It's been coming easy to me ever since I swallowed that calculator last week. But no matter, Willikins, I am appalled at this behaviour. Aren't I a nobleman and therefore entitled to my massive amounts of unearned wealth? Fetch me my castigating trousers that I may punish you properly.
Fetch your own bloody trousers, sir. You haven't paid a single cent of tax on that inheritance, nor on the income that you earn from interest due to your expensive accountants and the fact you had yourself declared a corporation.
Oh, have you no Nick Cole employs 100% of Willikins's in Nick Hall use, so maybe you should shut your ungrateful...
To which I would hasten to add that despite all the tax breaks and incentives that are given to you, and the politicians constantly referring to you as a job creator, you keep all that money for yourself. And despite of the fact that a 250-room country home like Nick Hall should require 20 servants at a minimum, you employ only myself and occasionally Errol.
Well, speaking of which, these aspirations on my class have got to stop. Fortunately, Errol was a strike breaker back in the 1930s.
Would that be of the scab variety, or...?
Yeah, the kind that breaks all your various legs.
Well, I shall not be moved. My cause is just, and I...
I said...
Oh, yeah, now that that's settled.
Hey, not so fast there, Nick. Hello, I'm Trevor Gardner, the head of Occupy Seattle.
What? Here in England?
Yeah, whatever. I think you're misunderstanding the idea behind the Occupy movement, Nick. It's not about inconveniencing you or robbing you of what you've rightfully earned. It's about making sure that corporations don't use their power to take advantage of citizens. It's about stopping corruption in the banks, and it's about addressing issues of wealth inequality. The actions we take may seem frightening to a person of wealth and privilege like yourself, but they really are for the good of everyone. In a way, we are all the 99%.
Yeah, that doesn't seem mathematically likely. But then I did pass that calculator while you were talking, so how would I know? Thank you for stopping by, Mr. Gardner. Say, how is it even possible for the Occupy movement to have an ed?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. I'm just a rhetorical device. I'm played by the same guy that does the voice for Errol. So long, everyone.
Oh, Willikins, I'm so sorry for treating you so badly and allowing my greed to blind me to the human cost of my actions. I henceforth acknowledge that I already have more money than anyone should ever need, and I shall never again let my unthinking selfishness take precedence over the dignity of my fellow man.
Oh, sir, it does my heart good to hear you say that. My strike is hereby ended.
Good. Now saddle up my helicopter and let's go to my private island. I feel like hunting the most dangerous game.
Here we go again!
Errol! What on earth is Mr. Gardner doing to you?
Thank you.
Attention, geeks, nerds, dorks, sportos, motorheads, dweebs, dorks, sluts, buttheads. A wizard has handed me this scroll of announcements to read to you now.
Really?
Will the owner of the Rust Orange 1978 Pinto with the words Aluminum Falcon stenciled on the doors, please kill yourself? Attention, Felicia Day. Hi. The Menace of the Intermen panel has been moved to nowhere. Paging Batman, repeat Batman, there is another call for you on the payphone out back. H.R. Giger will be signing copies of his book, A Child's Garden of Terrifying Genitals, at 4 o'clock. John Byrne's Cup of John panel will begin in 5 minutes in room 604. Bruce Campbell's Movies, TV Shows, Webisodes, and Hotel Rooms You Think I Should Be In Q&A has been moved to 6 o'clock. He will be joined by Nathan Fillion. Oh, here's that note about fangirls again. And finally, attention brown coats. It's time to move on now, guys. Seriously.
Ow. Oh, that was lovely. There are no syringes under that table.
My back is never going to be that way again.
First class puppeteering, folks. So, this is usually the part of the show where I sweat profusely and answer the mail.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have mail here, physical mail.
We do indeed have mail, by which I mean we printed out emails and put them in envelopes.
Matt, do you have to tell the people our secrets?
Yes, because I fucking stuffed them for the last 20 minutes.
The next thing you know, they're going to find out where the puppets come from.
Get down here, you. You don't want to know what he's doing down there, trust me.
Oh, God. All over my shoe.
Why don't you read the first email, Matt, since Irish... you do all the work around here.
No, damn right. This one's from Irish Gav.
But, hi, Gav.
Yeah, hi. Pretty cramped now.
Wouldn't it be, how's your bum?
Solicitations, live podcasteteers. In these austere times, I find it gratifying that resources are being used to their fullest. For example, in this story on the BBC website that avalanche experts have been drafted to discover how ice cream changes when stored in freezers. What next? Rocket scientists designing fireworks? Or even film directors traveling to the depths of the ocean? No, that's just silly. Signed, Irish Gav.
So that's all? We're just going to read them?
Yeah.
Very well.
Well, I was reading this story the other day about something similar where somebody is searching the ocean from where Apollo 11... blasted off, and you know, the retro rockets or whatever they're called. I don't know. Somebody knows what they're actually called. I don't. Probably you knows what they're actually called. The booster rockets that drop off in the ocean. Somebody went after them and found them and recovered them, and that was pretty cool.
Yep.
And then I kept reading, and it's, what's his name? Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, which sounds like something that I dreamed now.
Gotta have access to those retro rockets.
So, the CEO of Amazon is in the ocean. Looking for moon rockets from 1969. Of course he is.
What else would he do with his time?
Billionaire adventurers.
Yep.
It's like the whole Richard Branson thing.
I love that. Just that you can have $1 billion and fuck off in a balloon.
Would we not
or
do that?
Or jump off. Yes, that's my point. That is so cool. Fuck investing shit in other shit.
No.
You jump off something really high, or you look for something underwater, or you steal Curly's gold or something.
From Billy Crystal?
Yes. Why should he get all of it?
Well, that's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's answer another email then.
Excellent.
This one is from Flonk, and if it says Coke or Pepsi, I'm going
to... We will crucify you.
Yes.
Did you go? There you are.
Live crucifixion.
Yep.
Oh, this is for you, Brian.
Yes. Dear Brian, I'm hungry. What do you want for lunch? Did you see any places with any good lunch specials?
We already went to Vons, and it was very good. They have great fries.
Did they pay you to say that?
No, but they did give us 20% off because we came from the Comic-Con.
Good enough. Get back fucking Dunkin'.
Seriously, good stuff.
Don't come back till you're finished.
If you would stop interrupting me.
You wonder why I'm sweating? All right, this one comes from Mr. Bigsby, and it says, Gentlemen, how are you? I'm in the third row, probably.
Second actually.
No. You fail. You lose. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. So recently I've relocated to a new city for my position to slowly sterilize the people of Central... Oh, taxes. Do I have to keep reading this, really? All right. What is the idea... What is your idea of the best way to explore a new place? Guided Segway tours, wandering aimlessly, ignoring it until it goes away, meeting friendly people on a bus that want to talk about my phone? Oh, this is, yeah. That's one for you.
That works really well for me, yeah. No, I've met tons of people that way.
Of course, my idea was to get on a plane and travel to the Pacific Northwest instead. Congrats on your table not collapsing at the live... Did you just threaten me?
Clearly you haven't been to the table yet. Hanging on by a thread.
Until he finishes, anyway.
Well, yes.
I just like, when I move to a new place, I like to get lost. And that's working well for me as I enter year 7 here in Seattle. And still can't help you poor out-of-towners to get from the Space Needle to the convention.
Well, if it helps, I've been here for like 2 days, and you guys, how the fuck do you get around anywhere here?
Segways, obviously. And billionaire adventurer balloons.
I would be worried about driving off of a cliff.
Well, that is a real possibility, yeah. If you're a Segway enthusiast. Next one comes from Beav, and it says, oh, there's supposed to be 4 here, but there's only 3. Beav, I have a note here that you can't count.
You ruin again.
I said 4. Oh, so you're going to be the well actually guy.
Well, actually.
I can figure out which one's
missing. We have a place for people like you. It's called the Rape Alley.
Your people are out there.
Yeah.
Dear Almad in Seattle, Kaka or Pee-Pee, love always, your pal Beav.
Now, the beard's throwing me off. How old are you? This many, okay.
You gonna answer this one? You want me to?
I have never personally been a fan of either Kaka or Pee-Pee, but if I had to choose, Pee-Pee at least doesn't stain.
Fair enough. See, now we've lost people with the Kaka and Pee-Pee. Thanks a lot, Beav.
I stand by it.
All right. Next, dear Almat and ECCC, cocoa or peppermint? Butterfly kiss. You're going to get up here and give me a butterfly kiss if you're going to write that. That is just, you are a cheek tease, sir. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Humphreys.
Oh.
You tickle.
Thank you. Hey, I have a little sugar.
Oh, yeah, no. Both of us. You're absolutely right.
You have to sing about it later, though.
Oh. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Why? It wasn't that good.
It's polite.
The last time I get
better
sloppy,
than him, anyway.
The last time I get sloppy seconds on butterfly kisses.
Smon's just thinking, oh, thank you for warming him up for me. The third one says, Dear Almat and Pacific Northwest, Gnachi or Spag... you read this, it's in Klingon.
Gnachi or Spag...
Uh-huh.
Spetzel. Yes, that one.
Is that from Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yes.
Oh, but no, there will be a Q&A session at the end, sir. Please hold your questions. This one comes from someone who writes in large red letters, and it says, Dear Two Flower, Rincewind, and the Many Legs of the Luggage. N-Y-A-A-A-A-A, !! I must ask, considering many people think I am a fictional character who originated from a book, what is your favorite book that involves some sort of ghost? This is one of yours. Some sort of ghost. I don't do ghosts, I do robots. I think
Shining.
I covered that in the book.
Shining. Best haunted house book ever.
I thought he was just crazy.
No. They're
actual ghosts.
Yeah, in the movie, he's just crazy. In the book, there's actual ghosts running around. Oh, dear. There's actual ghosts running around. There's, like, you know, rape bears, stuff like that. It's that, terrifying.
That seemed like a consensual scene to me. That did not seem like
No.
Very well. All right, then. What does the rest of it say? I can only see the red letters.
Then it says, again. So long and thanks for all the fish, the woman. Just in case you missed it. Our fans.
Thank you for spoiling all of our...
Thank you
for spoiling his basketball shot. All right. This one comes from Kevin Scoop Lynch. I don't know who this is. Senator Watt and Congresswoman Rabotham. What is your platform? What is your campaign stance on the issues of the day? What can you tell your constituents about the upcoming election?
I'm from Canada. We don't believe in elections.
How does that work exactly?
Well, we have a queen who then demands that various people she likes be put in charge of Canada. We have a prime minister, and I don't know what he does, and neither does anyone else.
You don't
else.
Know his name, do you?
We have an array
you
of...
You just barreled right by that.
We have an array of half-senators who...
Half-senators?
Half-senate. Well, you get like four of them together, and it all fits together as a full senate.
Is this some sort of Lego legislature system?
Yes. I don't know how you run things here, but it works pretty well for us for the last 400 years. What is it, Brian?
Saying Legoslature.
No.
Don't feed him portmanteaus. He's bad enough as he is. So what's our platform?
I don't know. Pro stuff? Anti things?
I'm pro things, Matt.
All right.
We're going to have to split the ticket
this
here.
This is it for us. Okay.
Your campaign stances on the issue. What are the issues?
What are the
today?
Issues?
I don't even know. What I hear, do we hate women? I think that's the only issue
pretty,
that I'm aware of.
No, we're pretty pro women.
Yeah, we like women.
Yep,
so
we're pretty pro.
Please don't patronize
us. Yeah, God. We're pretty much pro everyone, I think.
Yeah, we have no place in this election, I'm sorry.
No.
Political humor, folks.
Enjoy it.
All right. This one comes from Laura, and it says, "Dear friends, I don't have time to come to your table. I'd rather drink beer." Well... That makes me very sad that Laura can't be here.
It was decent of you to let us know.
She did write a very fancy letter.
It is. Look at the calligraphy.
Yeah?
It almost looks like it was printed off of a computer.
Not going to let that go, huh?
No.
All right. Do you know that geese queues squeak because they have air in them? Yours in cheese science. Cheese, that's like the entire overlap of the Venn diagram of English Gap. He is the king of cheese, and he is our resident science expert.
So you're covered.
This is really, you should write this to Drunken Time Travel because we can't, plus explaining what geese cues would be, would take way too long.
Way too long.
It's cheese curds. Autocorrect is stupid. Dear Matt.
Oh, good.
Recently, Dan Didio talked about his 10 comics, blah, 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 blah. Comes from English Gav, and it says, "Pleasant greetings. Following your previous podcast, I've decided to research into the relatively unknown scientific field of beard physics, hoping to get a closer step to reaching a grand unified theory of facial hair. My ultimate aim would be one day quantum entangle my facial hair with someone else so I would never have to shave again. Research indicates that what gives different people differing abilities to grow beards hinges on the theoretical Higgs follicle."
Throw it away. That's way funnier than anything we're going to do.
I saved the slash fic for last
night. Okay, good.
"Despite throwing food as hard as I can at Irish Gav's beard whilst he sleeps, I've not managed to smash his beard open and discover the God beard. So my question is, should I create a homemade beard smasher, and would it be feasible to do this without the Irish one noticing, or do you think I should try to talk CERN into loaning me their large beard collider? At the bar, English Gav." I think if there was a large beard collider, that there are a number of females in our audience that would be swarming there now, and it would be completely
becoming
unusable.
Going there telling people they were from the future and we're there to shut it down.
Oh, no, they'd be making out with beardos.
Also good.
Why do you think I grew this? I can't carry puppet Neil Gaiman with me at all times.
I mean, I assume it was to cover the tiny face underneath.
All right, then. We have some voicemails now. Mr. Soundman, if you please.
Hi. I was just wondering...
Good God.
If you would
they
like
can't hear you,
some
Matt.
Pizza.
Would we like some...
That was terrifying.
Pizza. Well, I can't go back there after that za incident.
No,
I don't
God,
know about
no.
you.
Ugh.
Would we... I don't know, mysterious voice.
Mean,
could you bring us some if we said yes?
I am worried about anything delivered by whoever that was.
Yeah, that was unsettling.
They sounded sticky.
Well, we've seen a lot of sticky this weekend, so you're probably right. Next voicemail, please.
Dear Malgar and Alfie, just wondering what you do on your lunch break. Right now, I'm at a park skateboarding. This is Jeremy. Let me know.
You're at a park skateboarding. Are you eight?
I gotta bring up the how old are you question again. It's so weird having it come out of the ceiling. It's like God asking us stuff.
I don't think God skateboards, Matt.
Except that I believe in Jeremy.
We're just being all kinds of controversial here,
yes.
Aren't we? Some people don't believe in God.
What do we do in our lunch break?
Oh, yeah.
I eat lunch.
Yeah, eat lunch. Twitter.
Yep.
Write about podcast things.
Be glad that I'm not at works.
Yeah, there's no real humorous question to this. I mean, I certainly don't skateboard or eat my yogurt out of a tube.
You should. That would be awesome.
I'm just not extreme.
I would pay so much good money to watch you try a half pipe.
Of yogurt?
And then I would laugh.
Does it come in pipes?
Oh, man.
Is it like a pneumatic tube?
See, it's like it's almost like a thing of celery, except that it runs down the sort of hoop thingy.
I do not understand what you just visualized at all.
No, I want you to... Okay.
You should have brought the sketchbook we got so you could draw a picture, because I have no clue.
Only.
If this was draw something, I would have to hit pass. I don't... Also, you didn't draw a cock and balls. So.
I did, too.
Yeah. Well, all right.
That was also curved so that yogurt can run down it.
Of course. Next voicemail, please, quickly.
I don't think that you should mock me, because I'm awesome.
Sorry,
but
little
also,
girl.
I got divorced today. Also, I'm really super drunk. Also, I'm really sad that I can't be at Emerald City, and I hope that you guys are having so much fun. And I miss you guys, and I really hope that I can be with you next year. And I think that's it. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Jesse.
That was adorable. I kept that just for the... Okay, bye. We miss you too, Jesse. But there are people here who don't know who you are, so we're going to have to continue.
Yes, moving on.
Next one, please.
I think we chased them all out with the granulated penis joke.
Just the little girl.
All right.
Hello, Sarcastic Voyage. My name is Mike Daisy. You might recognize me as the guy who got into a little bit of trouble with the podcast This American Life for possibly misrepresenting a few factual key information in my expose on Chinese manufacturing. Right now, I'm on a bit of what my PR agent calls crisis mode. So I'm offering my services to other podcasts, you see, my unique brand of fabricated journalism. And I got a really great story I think you guys might be interested in. I am planning on traveling to the Enchanted Forest where the Keebler Elves make the cookies, because I don't think people really appreciate or understand the millions and millions of tiny elf hands that touch each and every Keebler cookie that they eat, the accidents that occur in that tree. It's not all the happy cartoon you see in the commercials. The elves there are under just the most harshest and worst working conditions just to make you a single fudge round cookie. So, if you guys are interested in that story, just let me know. I'll forward you my contact information. You might want to hurry because I'm pretty sure Ira Glass has hired an army of hipster hitmen to take me out. I get very, very nervous whenever I see John Hodgman near me. So if you guys could hurry so I can do that story and escape the hipster hitman, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
I actually had a response ready for this, and then I realized as this question entered its fourth hour, and the person who sent it to us is sitting in the audience now. Scott, do you now understand why we ask you to keep the voicemails under 30 seconds?
Please?
You do realize this setting does not have a fast-forward function.
Yeah. Some of us have things to do later. Like not listen to you.
I'm going to go see the panel of George Takei and Tia Carrere, who apparently are doing a panel called Yes, We're Asian. these guys are doing a panel. I'm trying to... What do these guys have in common
That's
at all?
It.
Hello. That is all. That is apparently...
Hello, Tia Carrera.
You just want to say tripping balls. Let's just cut to the chase.
I'm tripping balls.
I don't even know what she sounds
I'm
like.
I'm Tia Carrera.
Wayne's
I was on Relic
know.
Hunter.
What? That's nice.
I don't even
Relic
know
Hunter. She hunted relics.
That is not what I thought you said.
What did...
Wow.
All right.
Mr. Daisy, we do not need a resident liar. We got one right here.
Hello.
In Mr. Matt Robotham.
Hello.
Matt likes to, for those of you who are new, likes to use what he calls Matt facts, which are in fact lies. But they are presented with a straight enough face that you believe that they are the truth. They are not in fact the truth. Do you got any Matt facts handy? I don't want to put you on the spot necessarily. But,
Real American Prime Minister is a penguin. He's been kept in a bunker for over 400 years and his brain is in a jar.
We almost just published a bunch of those as an almanac, but then John Hodgman did that.
Yeah, that son of a bitch.
Which then ties back nicely to that infinite voicemail we just received. Next voicemail, please.
You guys remember that movie with Chandler from Friends and Penelope Cruz, or who's the other one? Selma Hayek. I'll get them mixed up.
The other one.
Do you remember that movie? They were all in love and stuff, and Chandler was running like a architecture or a construction business or something. And it's just a great romantic comedy. I like that movie. How about you guys?
Do we remember that movie?
No.
No.
It was,
no.
It was Selma Hayek. Why
did you? I thought I was sort of skirting the edge about with that Asian joke earlier. I thought, was this on the right side of racism or not? But Selma Hayek or Penelope Cruz, one of them. I think that's on the other side of the line.
Yep.
Do we have any more voicemails, or is that all?
That's everything.
All
right.
Matt, I've been saving this last one. Someone has issued us a challenge. She does not believe that this erotic slash fan fiction that she has written, starring us, that we would read this in front of a live audience.
We're recording, right?
Yes.
I want to be clear on that.
The small child is gone, right? All right. I printed this out. There are 3 pages.
God, really?
Yeah. Let's just...
How fast can you read it?
Pretty fast. Let me do the first page and you do the second.
Very well.
Dear Sarcastic Voyage, how are you? I'm fine. As you know, romantic is in these days. You can't even write a damn vampire story or novel with teens killing each other for sport without the obligatory forced romance. And this is one thing that Sarcastic Voyage has been sadly lacking until now. You didn't see the kiss earlier.
No.
I, a humble fan and slash writer, have taken... She's a slash writer. This is her title. I am a slash writer. I have taken
it
upon myself...
That sounds so much cooler than it actually is.
Yeah. I have taken it upon myself to fill this void. Please enjoy the nautically titled Love Unfathomable. All right, so. It was a beautiful day in the Pacific, but that didn't matter because Matt Robotham hated the sea no matter how beautiful it was. Well, she's got you down.
It's true. That's good characterization.
He stood by a porthole, shaking his fist and cursing at the sea life frolicking around the Sarcastic Voyage submarine. Stop frolicking, he yelled. The stupid sea life ignored him. How could they be so cruel? Didn't they know that Matt's heart was in agony? How dare they flaunt their happiness? I hate you too, fish. And shark, don't give me that smug grin, you bastard. Yeah, I hate you too, curiously misplaced moose. That's pretty good. Go away and stop reminding me of Canada. And you, yes, you, I hate you worst of all, seahorse. Matt, said Algar, are you cursing the sea again? We talked about that. You don't have to stand by the porthole all the time. I can put a curtain over it or something. It's how I vent, Matt said. Leave me alone, Al. I've got a lot of venting to do right now. Is this about your girlfriend? Matt's wail of despair echoed along the sea bottom, frightening the fish. Somewhere in the distance, a humpback whale began to sing in reply. So that's a yes, then. Matt sighed, his shoulders drooping. I thought she loved me. Turns out she just loved Canada. Seriously, once I got her out of Oregon, she ran off with the first lumberjack she saw. Algar blinked. Is that what happened? You told me a bear ate her.
I lied. She broke my heart. Now I have nothing. Nothing except this Sarcastic Voyage and my undying hatred of the sea, Matt wailed again and punched the porthole. Algar shook his head as Matt nursed his bruised knuckles. You can't replace love with hatred, Matt. It's not healthy. I can if I want to, Al. You can't stop me. Then Matt glanced out the porthole again and saw a pair of dolphins nuzzling each other. With a sob, he flung himself at Algar. Make them go away, Al. I can't watch. Algar sighed and patted him on the back. There, there. You'll find someone else one of these days. There are plenty of fish in this... I hate fish. I mean, one day you're bound to find someone who appreciates you. Someone who loves Matt Robotham and not just Canada. A hopeful, tearful face looked up at him. You'll never leave me, will you, Al? Algar smiled. Of course not. We're stuck in a submarine together. But, I mean, if we weren't, would you still be here? Algar thought about it. He and Matt had been through so much together. He couldn't imagine life without the nerdy Canadian. I can't imagine life without you, Matt, he said sincerely. And Matt smiled. It was like watching the sun rise several hundred feet below the Pacific. Thanks, Al. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but you're my best friend. You didn't have to tell me, Matt. Matt paused. The air in the sub went still. Condensation dripped from the ceiling. Outside the portholes, the dolphin listened intently. You what, Matt? Algar looked at him, so patient and understanding. Matt's heart leapt and landed somewhere in his spleen.
Oh, God damn it! Now I gotta pick it up where the filthy stuff happens, don't I? I really should read these ahead of time, shouldn't I?
Get out of here, you.
Also, for a second there, I thought I was we switched spots because it sounded like I was right there. That is a dead-on Alan impression.
It's so accurate.
All right, let's bring this home now. I think I love you, Al. Algar grinned. Well, it's about damn time, as he bent his co-host backwards for a heart-stopping, bodice-ripping kiss. The dolphins cheered, blew raspberries, and waved their unmentionables at the sub, because dolphins are assholes like that. That really feels like our voice guy Dave, who you heard introducing the show briefly at the beginning via digital, not tape, really would sell a line like that. These are the kind of lines I like to write for him. Because dolphins are assholes like that. When he could breathe again, Matt said, wait, wasn't there supposed to be more awkward dialogue and shyness and confessions and condensation? What, with this author's attention span? We're lucky we got dialogue at all. Matt heard a faint crumbling noise in the distance. He sighed. Well, there goes the fourth wall, so now what? Algar grinned. So now we discreetly fade to black. Can I rip a bodice first? Oh, fine, dear, if you must. Matt picked up a bodice that was conveniently lying on the floor and pulled it until it gave a satisfying rip. Much better. Algar stepped forward. So did Matt, and the discreet blackness closed in just in time. Somewhere a humpback whale moaned. Carrie, ladies and gentlemen.
So, we showed her.
I expected more filth. I was prepared to read something.
I was ready for more
far
filth.
More filthy than that. Author's note, sincerest apologies to Matt's girlfriend. No, really, Mal, I'm sorry. See, according to the deeply rooted traditions of slash culture, a female love interest must be sacrificed in the process of slashing.
At least she didn't kill you. That's a plus.
It had to be you, because I don't know Algar's child's bride enough to make jokes about, oh, she's got a thick skin she can take. Listen, if she's endured our love this long,
yeah,
she can handle some internet person writing about it. So you see, it was all just a literary necessity. No hard feelings or, wait, what are you doing? Put down that,
It's amazing that she took all the time to type that as she was being killed.
Yeah, it ends with a so cold, too, which is a nice touch. I was prepared for so much worse. I truly, truly was.
I feel sad now. I'm sorry we let you guys down.
Yeah.
Probably should have been more cocks than that.
And with that, now is the open Q&A session. If you have anything you would like to ask us, there's a microphone right there, and you're welcome to do so. Please, someone do this so I don't feel like an ass.
Why, it's
not
Scott
you, Scott. I'm kidding.
Get the
I'm
hell
kidding.
Up there.
Oh, please.
You beardo. Oh, excellent.
That was just to remind you that we want questions.
Okay. My fourth question that I did actually email and I have in my sent stuff was...
I didn't receive it, Pete.
Come on, honey.
Cocaine or Pepsi cane?
You know what's awesome is there's a ledge right out there. We can just fling him off of it.
We're only on the second floor, though. Next year, I got to request the fourth floor.
The best part is he'll live, and he'll stay scared.
That's pretty good. Scott, okay. What do you got?
All right. I just want to clarification. Actually, it is physically impossible for me to leave any sort of voicemail less than a minute. Like, because you got a voicemail from me earlier this week, I can't cut it under. I don't have an internal clock built in that lets me know when I'm going too long, like I am right now. So God, yeah. So I just wanted to throw it out there. Clarification: it is impossible to only talk for less than a minute. So that's why the voicemails are so long. So apologies. I apologize to everybody. All right.
Awesome.
We love you, Scott. That said, I think you're all aware of this, but just in case you are not. There's a story that I wanted to tell involving Mr. Zioko. Most of you are familiar with this, but I feel like it needs to be told one final time, and we can finally put this to bed. When we started the podcast in early 2009, unfortunately on Twitter one morning, I made a little reference to... there's an old Dunkin' Donuts commercial years and years ago where the guy wakes up, and he's like, time to make the donuts. And he's just walking around time. It's a dumb commercial, but people remember it, and it's cute. So I got on, and I had time to make the donuts. Scott latched onto that with the jaws of life.
Like a fucking barnacle.
And would not let it go. He turned it into a hashtag, which I'm sure was a trending topic at some point.
At least in Australia or something, where there's not a whole lot going on.
Half the people, this is not a joke, half the people in this room know me because Scott's hashtag carried so far that friends of friends of friends found out about it. And where's Algar's Donuts? Algar's Donuts, where are they?
Algar's making donuts? We can get donuts?
No, I'm not. And it was cute at first.
By the by the fourth week, it got a little irritating.
No, and then it was not funny. And then sort of by Family Guy rules, it was kind of
funny
again. Came
around again.
And then by Family Guy rules again, it was really not funny ever. Oof. And please never tell that joke again.
And then you fought a giant chicken.
No, and then my birthday rolled around, and he ruined my birthday. My 35th birthday consisted of me deleting donut spam all day as he coerced people into sending me emails asking for their free birthday donut. Now, here's where the story gets interesting. As we were raising funds for this wonderful venue and to have our table and our books and all the wonderful stuff we have, I said, you know what? I'm going to make this pay off. I'm going to offer at the top level, at the donation level of $50, I'm going to offer you donuts. I will personally bake you donuts and give them to you. And I kept that link up for, what, 6 months? Five months? We pushed that forever.
Yes, we did.
Anyone who listens to the show knows you were so tired of hearing me beg you for money. Mm-hmm. You all gave us money, but we wouldn't stop begging anyway. In that 5 or 6 months, Scott Zioko had Algar's donuts available to him and chose to decline.
Yep.
No, I don't want them now.
Not interested.
Now that they exist, not interested.
Where were you back when I was badgering you? Yes, go ahead.
Oh, please. Please, by all means. We don't get this
we'll
opportunity.
Just, right, this, we'll
just like a, like an editorial thing. Side note, you know, in the comics, you know, I actually got my donuts 2 years ago, if everyone remembers.
No, I like, there you was Krispy a big Kreme. That doesn't count.
Okay, yeah. All right, fine.
That's barely food.
But I'm on a diet, so that's why I had to decline.
Whatever
you couldn't buy
yourself.
A novelty donut just to pay the joke off.
I've lost like 10 pounds, okay? So.
You look good, Scott, but...
You can afford a donut, then.
Wait, how does that work? Weight is not money.
No, I mean, he can like afford... Like,
whoa.
Oh, I see. Thank you for that. And so the final punchline to all this, which many of you probably know, is we include it in the box when you take receipt of your donuts. You must sign a legal waiver. And we had an actual notary draft up this legal waiver. I'm not kidding.
Yep.
That says, I promise not to give any of these donuts to Scott. On the box, there is a logo with me. I appear to be running. Bob, our sound guy back there, designed the logo. And I appear to be running, which I think my original instructions were, could you make him look something like the old post office logo? You know, one of those sort of old-timey 50s sort of guys. And so he made him running. And there was a little extra space on there, and so he filled it with, not for Zioko. And it's now created this whole weird serial mascot backstory where Scott is like the Trix rabbit. And he must never have my donuts. I cannot possibly milk this for any more, Scott, so thank you for that, and we will never speak of it again.
This is the last shovelful of dirt on that joke.
Yes. There is a little dirt in the donuts, by the way. I hope nobody actually ate them. Sawdust, actually.
Well, whatever was cheapest.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Anyone?
You there, lady, you have a question.
I wrote it down.
Well, why don't you approach the microphone and read us your question?
All right, give it.
I'll read it.
Here.
Well, you walked up in front of everyone. You might as well.
Here, I'll ask.
There.
Why, is there more important beer pressing to... Of course there is.
Dearest fellows, do you prefer zippers or buttons? Support your answer with pop culture references. Sincerely, Boss Cinco.
Zippers are way hotter.
As we largely deal in an audio realm, I feel like zippers are funnier.
Yep.
Because it's very hard to indicate via audio that someone is getting undressed if they're unbuttoning something. That doesn't really play. Yeah.
Versus.
Or okay.
You knew what you were getting into.
Listen, you know what the kind of sketches we write, and how many sketches we write are going to involve someone getting dressed?
All of them involve someone getting undressed.
What are the odds?
Nick and Willikins take their pants off, for example.
Nick, you swallowed a calculator. What are the odds that we're going to write a sketch about someone undressing versus someone dressing?
It's full.
All right. Thank you. Get down there.
I'm not authorized.
You're not finished yet. Sorry, there's a whole union scab thing. He can't actually perform
really,
Nick. It's a big deal.
Oh, God.
Not allowed.
Yeah.
If he performs as Nick, I get sad and go hide in the room.
I understudied Alan Moore yesterday while you were conventioneering. I have a question.
Uh-huh. Guy on the floor?
I'm just wondering why you made the error of saying The Shining is the best ghost book ever when it's obviously The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson.
Oh, fuck, that is a good one.
Yeah. That's right.
Matt, the well actually questions are coming from the table. Stop correcting us.
Is it haunted down here, too?
Linnick and Millikins are dead, Matt.
Medium haunted.
There's a ghost crawling up my leg. Oh, no, that's Mr.
Matt, Slam. Let me tell you the extent of ghosts, my ghost knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Pac-Man.
That was terrifying, yes.
As a small child, when I briefly played Pac-Man, like I'd go into an arcade or bar or whatever. Yes, I went into a bar as a young child. That's how I rolled. My mom handed me a quarter and said, go play that thing. And I thought the objective was to catch the ghosts.
Aww.
I won very quickly. Don't say, aw, I didn't know anything. Ignorance is bliss. I was happy. Wow, I caught him.
I finally did it. I folded the guy. I have no idea how hard you work for the woo, woo, woo.
That's the victory song. I had this whole elaborate thing in my head. It was fantastic. Any further questions? Anything?
Anybody?
Nobody, huh?
Nobody? All right.
Nothing. We got ponies. Want to see our ponies?
Now bring out the ponies. These are cool.
Our pal Tidro. Please applaud. She deserves way more applause than we do. Please. If I wasn't worried about this microphone falling off, I would give you a standing ovation.
Yes.
But she made us these little ponies.
These little ponies,
they are mine.
Live on my shelf.
Think about it, you'll get it. It wasn't funny, I know.
No.
Now, she was practicing making custom ponies, and she asked for our permission for our likenesses, which was nice. She should have gone through our legal department, but that's all right.
Of course.
These have drawn almost as many people to our table.
That was nuts.
As the puppets. And they're all like, it's all like little girls. And like, it's not like you hear about the bronies and you think, oh, it's going to be some weird guy. No, it's just, it's mostly little girls.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. But it's just all like, oh, do you do a pony show? No, I'm sorry, little girl.
Our dog went home.
Oh, we have made so many. What? We've made more little girls sad than almost the end of E.T.
I'm actually
trying to think of something sad for little girls that I don't know.
I'm actually pretty okay with that.
All right, then. I don't know. I went to E.T.
Poor,
we were talking about Pac-Man, and I'm stuck in 1982
now. The one sad little girl at the end of E.T.
That's what I was thinking of Drew Barrymore.
No, she was sad.
Yeah. She was also in E.T.
That's okay. She fixed it with cocaine.
There's your answer, Fishbulb. there are ponies. That was pretty much my only point to that.
I think
they're lovely.
The way that they just
lure
people in, it really, really helped with the whole idea that we were a children's podcast, which we hadn't really planned on when this whole thing started.
No, and that's another thing with the puppets.
We drew out our adorable puppets and our small ponies at a comic convention. Yeah, should have seen that one coming. Whoops.
Well, and the thing about the puppets is while it brings out a side of me that, as I said, I can hit on hot goth girls, and I totally did, it also makes me friendlier to children. I don't particularly care for children. I don't dislike children. There's a few people here who have kids who I'm quite fond of, but overall, not planning on having any, don't really. But that puppet
sticky.
Loves kids. I don't know what it is about the and it's not the hand either. That's just weird. No, it's the puppet.
Hello, little girl. I'm Neil Gaiman.
Stop it. That's horrifying. Actually, I had a girl come and say, I'm a naked puppet. That was lovely.
That was pretty hot.
Yeah, it was. All right. Any other questions?
Anything?
I just had to spend a moment with that.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right.
All right, then. I think that is all. Thank you all for coming.
That
and we're
going to
stop talking now. This is usually where the door would close.
Yeah. Ka-chunk.
Bow, 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 bow.
Rain, 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 rain,
rain, rain, rain, rain.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is a co-production of Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of the co-producers and any featured guests unless otherwise noted. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage Podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2012.
Hey, you there. Did you know you can get the video version of this live performance on our new store?
I bet you didn't know that because we didn't tell you. No, we decided to add this show as well as a bunch of bonus material, some sketches we wanted to put in the show, some extra visual stuff. And there is a lot of visual stuff, as you can probably tell, with the puppets, with the butterfly kisses, with all the stuff. You should check it out. It does cost a couple of bucks, but only just a couple of bucks. We want to try to raise some money to do this again next year. So if you could, go to sarcasticvoyage.com, click the store button, and check out the video. I think you'll be glad you did. I know I will be.